Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and this is Satina Kirkendall, and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I have to tell you that it is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful morning, and I thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. Now, I'm trying to work this out because I am one thing short of one of my devices tonight. And let me just say that I apologize for not being on last weekend, but I had an unexpected emergency at home, and I had to deal with that situation. I'm not sure if you all can hear me on live, so let me turn my phone back on. So with that being stated, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I am so, so excited to be here tonight, and I just want you to know that I'm just happy to have you here. You all know I do not start the show off without prayer, so let's just go ahead and get into that. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. We give you all the glory on this Mother's Day, 2021. So much has happened, and gosh, we just thank you because, one, we're here to live it, we're here to breathe it, and we know that we weren't able to do it ourselves, and it's through your grace and mercy, and we thank you for granting us this opportunity to celebrate another Mother's Day. I thank you for those who are mourning and who have lost a loved one on this Mother's Day. Special prayers out for those who are in need of special prayers. I won't call them out in particular, but they know who they are. I had a chance to speak to some of them today. And I just thank you for those who are expecting, those who just became mothers. I just thank you for giving us the gift of being mothers, Lord, and the strength that you provide to us, whether we're married, single, regardless of what our situation is. There is no love like a mother's love. And I thank you for giving us and granting us that opportunity. You never put more on us than we can bear. And we thank you for sending the resource and even the husbands and the fathers that are absent and those who are there and those who are there to provide those positive male reinforcements in the absence of those who don't have a father there. I just thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy, but most of all for your love, Lord. And as I move forward tonight, Lord, I thank you, Lord, and I ask you to decrease Chyna right now. Decrease me, Lord, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in tonight. I ask you to just move away any hindrance, anything that's not of you, and I ask you to forgive me of anything or anything, any thought, word, and deed. As we move forward and move on into this month of May with Mental and Behavioral Awareness Month. And it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray that you watch over all the speakers, the one that's here tonight, and the one that's up and coming for the month of May and all the topics that you've just strategically aligned for us to discuss. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So, when I think about tonight, I'm about to lose my mind. You all know that DMX song is one of my favorite ones, as a matter of fact. But, you know, how many times have we been in situations where we've been so caught up on what's going on in life circumstances, whether it's trauma in our lives, you know, regardless of what that trauma is, you know, we've all had some type of trauma or drama or some type of crisis in our lives, and how many times, or just something every day. You might have got cut off on the road, or, you know, different stresses that happened in your life. So let me calm down because I got a lot going on tonight. But this month is very special to me as well as last month was. You know, it's Mental and Behavior Awareness Month, and it started on May 1st. It will end May 31st. And this is such a special topic when we talk about mental and behavioral health, because I was reading Facebook, I want to say it was yesterday, and I saw a post from a dear friend of mine, and it really struck me when we talk about the awareness, but it struck me in reference to a challenge that she was having with one of her daughter, with her daughter. And it really struck me, and everyone who knows me knows my background for nonprofit and knows I'm a very big advocate of advocating for those who do not who are not able to advocate for themselves or in need of an advocate. And mental health is so, so very important, and behavioral health is very, very important. And that arena alone is very broad, it's very big. It can come in form of so many things. We're talking bipolar disorder. We're talking about PTSD. I hope I said it. Post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's so many forms and fashion that we're going to talk about in the month of May. But tonight we're going to talk about the basics that leads up to some of this stuff. And we're going to talk about some of the stresses that occurs in people's lives as a result of what goes on in our life, just normal, I won't say normal, but stresses in our life. It could come from a loss of a child. It could come from a loss or grief of a parent, losing a parent. It could come from many different facets in our life. And we don't realize how much stress, how much pressure it puts on us as people. And that thing builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And tonight I have the pleasure and the privilege of having someone on board tonight who I've known very well for such a long time. And when we talk, you know, we talk about some of the things that we've gone on that in our lives. And it's just very interesting because one of the things we have in common, we're both survivors. And that's a trauma that we've had in our life. But we also talk about single mothers, and that tonight being Mother's Day, you know, we talk about some of the things that we go through. We also share another common denominator, which I will bring on later. And when I bring her on, we're going to I'll introduce that a little later. But it goes back to all the stresses and all the trauma and the drama that as a single, just being a single mother, that we go through in our lives. And, you know, why not talk about it? You know, that's what this show is about. Real folks, real situations, real scenarios. So without further ado, I'm actually going to bring her on now. And as you, her name is Ms. Roxanne Holmes. She is actually my special guest for tonight. So Ms. Roxanne, thank you for joining us this evening. And thank you for tuning into Chronicles of Fun, just so tongue-tied tonight. Chronicles of a Fonda Woman, how are you this evening?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I want you to know that we're on Facebook Live as well, okay? Just letting you know. But you're on my Blog Talk Radio piece, so.
Okay, cool.
So cool, as cool. I was saying, I'm not sure what you got a part of it. You know, I mentioned, you know, when we talked about coming on the show tonight, because we have so many things in common. You know, we talked about one, being single parents, you know, being single mothers, you know, going through some of the stresses and the traumas of life, you know, some of the things that we have gone through collectively and then individually. You know, I wanted to bring you on board because it's such an important topic when we talk about this, especially with it being on Mother's Day. You know,
yes.
As a mother, let me just say this to just include why we, you know, I'm so happy that today, you know, it marks, you know, mental awareness. As a mother, you know, as a single mother, the stresses and the things that we go through as a mother, it's so interesting.
Amen.
And they say God doesn't put anything us more than us than we can handle. And I tell you, sometimes I'm like, we must have a cast iron back.
Yes, honey, yes.
Because we go through so much. So I just wanted to kind of get your input, you know, being a single mother, you know, going through, you know, work and the things that you go through, if you could just kind of elaborate some of the things that you go through when we talk about some of the stresses and, you know, the things that you go through, the triggers that you go through.
Well, so first of all, I'll just give a touch of a background about myself. Most of your listeners probably do know me because I'm on a lot. But,
yes.
In addition to being a single mother, I'm also a veteran. So I served 7 years in the Army Reserve, and a small period of that time was active duty. So I have, like, a combination of things, I'll say it like that. Like, I'll say for me as a mother, the way that I grew up, I felt like I've always had to be an adult. So I don't feel like I really had a childhood. So I felt like early on, I already was dealing with stress. Like in middle school, you know, I had to come home and discipline my brother. So for me, mentally, and some of my girlfriends will tell you that, they're like, you've always been the, you know, that one. And I was like, it wasn't my choice. But just having to be a parent and the most responsible one, it's stressful. So, of course, that doesn't go backwards. It just builds, you know, the older I get. But one of the things I wanted to say was I feel like in the Black community, it's a bad thing to say, you know, you have anxiety or you have depression. Like, because for so long, Black people have always had to be strong. I think people don't ever want to just be honest and say, you know what? As a people, we have been through a lot. We have conquered a lot. But we're human like everybody else. We're able to break like everyone else. We have moments like everyone else. And I don't think that shows a weakness. I think it shows a strength for you to say, you know, this and this is happening, and I need help because something isn't right. Like most of the time, you could feel when something's not kind of normal. You're like, something, well, and then people go, well, that's just the way she is. No, some things are not normal. And I think for the mothers, this, what's the Karen White song? I'm not your superwoman.
Superwoman.
Yes.
Yes.
She said that. It as a mom, like, that's my theme over the past couple of years, because for so long they've looked at us as, like, you know, the Black woman, you know, she's superwoman, she got a job, you know, she got her hustle, she take it. Like, at the end of the day, we're still human beings. And it kind of hurts my heart when I see single mothers, and even some mothers that are married, who are so stressed out because they're working, they're having to take care of their family, they're doing all these things, and they're crying out for help. And to see other women say, oh, queen, you got this. Oh, girl, you got, and I'm
yes.
like, no, no, and no,
no
again.
Exactly.
I said, no, that is not, listen, I said, honey, you need a break. Like, to tell her, oh, you good, just pull up your big girl panties, you got this. No, she don't, and she's telling you, I don't got this. I need a break. I need something. And so in her case, this one particular young lady, she had a husband. And it was like, now you need to talk to him. Y'all need to have a serious conversation because you don't say anything to him and you don't do anything, you're going to have a meltdown, blow up, and it's going to be horrible. Like, it, you don't know, you're going to snap, and you don't want to get there. You want to work on that first. And for me, one of the things I've been thinking about is me time. And me time doesn't necessarily have to cost you any money. It doesn't have to be an entire day. You can start off slow. You can start off 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, like whatever. Go into the bathroom, you know, turn the lights off. Act like you're using the bathroom. But, you know, take your book in there or listen to some music. Just anything to try to calm and relax yourself. And I talked a lot about me time and talking to parents. And then I had to tell myself to shut up because it was easy for me to talk to other people about having their me time. And then I would forget about my me time. And it was my VA therapist that said, she said, Ms. Sharon Fraser, she would say, plan your peace. And I was like, what? She said, plan your peace. And I was like, huh. And basically it is exactly what it says. We plan everything else. Like, I got to go pick up a crab pie that I ordered from somebody today. In my calendar, mm-hmm. it says 5:30, go pick mm-hmm. up crab pie. But I don't put in there, okay, 8:30 tonight, take a hot bubble bath. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, we really don't think about that kind of stuff because we're like, well, how can you forget to do that? Easy. Like, it's easy to forget a doctor's appointment if you don't put it in your calendar. And so planning your piece, it's intentional that you get yourself to these points where you can disconnect, mm-hmm. where you can relax. But even before you get there, you have to learn to set boundaries and stick to them. Like, okay, I get off work at this time. The type of job that I work, it's stressful. When I leave work, work is at work. When I'm home, I'm home. And I think as a parent, like, part of that is not being present in the moment. Like, you thinking about what's going on over here, over there, back there. And it's hard because as moms, most of us are nurturers. Most of us are always worried about taking care of everybody else. And we have to get to this point where we hit a wall, boom, and we're like, dang, I need to slow down. And it's like, no, my neighbor had a stroke. I put it like that. She was always going. And her husband told me, he was like, I told her, you know, take a break, do this. And she wouldn't do it. And she was driving one day and had a stroke while she was driving. We are the exact same age. Wow. I'm 42. This happened a year ago. I don't know. Maybe a couple months ago. I'm sorry. My mind is gone. But one of the things we discussed was all the stuff she had going on. And I said, you know, sometimes you got to stop and take a break. You have to. Or something like you driving on a busy road and you have a stroke while you're driving. Like, her said she's alive. Her car was totaled. She hit somebody else, but the babies were in the car with her. Like, there's so many other things that could come from us not realizing that we have to slow down. If you don't have a mental issue yet, you go give yourself one.
Okay.
I just feel like we have to, most of us, if not all of us, we really have to stop sometimes and look in the mirror and look at our life and see what we have going on, because most of us need to slow down somewhere. Most of us need to take a break somewhere.
Mhm. Mhm. So what I'm getting from you, first of all, thank you for protecting and serving, because we're going to talk about that being a veteran and talking about, you know, as far as those, you know, the challenges that comes with being a veteran. So we're going to go back to that in a second. But I want to touch on something you said that was very important, because I was reading something when I was doing my research regarding this matter, and it talked about taking care of yourself in the effort of you know, mental health and behavioral health. One of the things they talk about, I was doing my research on Mental Health America, and they talked about a lot of different things, you know, dealing with stress, because some of the stresses we deal that deals with our mental and behavioral health. One of them was taking time out for yourself. And I yes. can relate to the young lady because I've had over 5 strokes. I still encounter strokes. Sometimes I have silent strokes and don't know that I have it. And that comes from an autoimmune disorder that I have. But I remember when I used to run myself so much because I always worked. I used to work, I mean, full-time, part-time. I used to just work. And I just never took the time to rest. And on top of that, I was being a caregiver to at least 3 family members, just running up and down that road, running up and down that road, until finally I found myself hospitalized. And I remember my father once telling, he called everybody, because even though I was in the hospital, they was putting IVs in me and everything, I was still on the phone, like, making preparations, like, hey, I'm in the hospital, I need you to direct the phone calls for my uncle. And my father's like, okay, that's it. You know, no one called Tina for anything, whatever. But my point is, I was burning my candles with both ends as a result of, you know, taken on so much responsibilities, you know, I just left myself out. But at the same time, it was tiring me. I was frustrated, but I didn't know how to say no. So I ended up in a situation where my health started being in jeopardy. So, you know, I had to learn the hard way, and especially after having I had a stroke. Gosh, I can't remember the year I had it, but I remember exactly what I was doing and who I was with. And I did not go to the hospital. I just prayed that God would take that headache away, and he did. When I had that same headache again, I still didn't go to the hospital at first, but my vision was bothering me. And I said, well, my vision doesn't come back 100%. I could still see, but it wasn't 100%. I said, I'm going to go to the hospital just to check it out. And sure enough, they said, Ms. Kirkendall, you had a stroke. And he said, do you know you have a history of strokes? And I was like, no, I didn't. I didn't know I have a history of stroke. And they showed me my x-rays, my MRIs, and I saw all the spots. Because anytime you have a heart attack and stroke, they show scars. And I didn't realize how much I did, but I get it. I was burning my candles on both ends, trying to do everything for everyone. It just was not taking the time for myself. So I get where that young lady is coming from, and also where you are coming from, being that single mother again, trying to do what we need to do. And at that time, my son was living in Texas, so I was killing the time not being a mother, just working, and just being a caregiver for anyone else. But I lost myself in the process. And to numb the pain of some of the heartaches I was feeling, I would just work and take care of people. But it brought me to Mental Health of America when I was looking at researching for the show tonight, and it talked about some things that people can do. I'm kind of jumping ahead myself, but we're going to go into something else in a second as far as a specific subject, you know, and it talked about taking time for yourself. And that's one of the things that we definitely have to be careful and be mindful when we're talking about mental health, because if you're not right, you can't be right for everyone else. In fact, I think I may end up saving this for later on and go on to something else. And let's talk about, you know, being that single mother. Let's transition to that. And being a single mother, you know, being one myself, and as I hear you talking, Roxanne, it's a lot, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
And people always ask that question, well, how do you do it? I don't know. What do you mean, how do I do it? I don't have a choice
right.
but to do it.
Exactly.
I don't have a choice. I have to do it, you know. But it makes you wonder sometimes. I don't know about you, but it makes me wonder, like, wow, if it had not been for Jesus, I don't know what we do as single mothers. You know, they say we got this S on our chest. No, we got grace. We have mercy. And
yes.
God got us, because we have no choice but to be strong, because we have to make it work. When the child's father is not doing right, when he is not delivering, when he said he's going to deliver, guess what? We have
yep.
to be the one to make it work out. And we
exactly.
just have to depend on him to make it work out. So that causes another stress. That causes another anxiety. Within us, you know, because we know it has to get done. There is, you can't tell the daycare, well, like he said he was going to do it, he didn't do it, and
mm-hmm.
are you going to pay this, or you can't keep your, we can no longer care for your child. You know, that's another stress, and then if we're not careful, it goes over to our kids. Because kids can pick up on our anxiety. They can pick up on everything that's going on. And we just have to be mindful as people that whatever happened with us, you know, it's going to fall on over to them. And we just have to be careful, because if we're not careful, I don't know about anyone else. I could just be, you know, mindful of me. I will, you know, sometimes I get to that point where I want to snap, crackle, pop. But I know I have to hold it together, regardless of what it is. And that's what I know. I have to fall on my knees and fall on my face. And that's what I have to do. So I have someone on the line, so I'm going to put you on hold, Roxanne, but don't leave me because I'll probably end up bringing you back in a second, so just give me a second. But as I was saying, as I move forward, you know, getting that perspective, especially listening to Roxanne, you know, as we move forward, you know, sometimes we do need that relief, and sometimes it does get frustrating, and sometimes it does get troublesome, and it gets hard. And as I was, Roxanne and I was just talking, like, we have to fall on our knees. We have to, because we have to get that mental, we have to be prepared mentally, but we also have to be prepared spiritually as well, because if we don't have that spiritual development, it's not going to work. We have to have it there in order for us to be there. So I have someone on the line, and this is Mr. Simpsonville. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you for always tuning in to Chronicles. I hope that you've caught all of it so far, what we've been talking about. Yeah, so we were just talking about the stresses, and you're a father, but you were talking about, you know, coming from the mind of a single parent, you know, especially as women, you know, having to juggle so much, and just it's the stress, you know. And, you know, people ask that question, well, how do you do it? Well, what do you mean, how do we do it? We don't have a choice. We have to make it work, you know. But it's something. That's the best thing I can say about that. It's something, but we know it's only through God's grace. It's only through his grace.
You know, the lady's name is Roxanne?
Yes.
Okay. She made a very good point when she stated that you have to plan time. You have to plan time for yourself. And from a spiritual standpoint, from a biblical standpoint, if we are followers of Jesus, you notice that no matter what was going on in Jesus' life, he always found time to go and pray and meditate. You know, between the healings, the teachings, and the miracles, he still found time to meditate. And from a single parent's point of view, and I'm not a single parent, but, you know, from that perspective, you have to make time for yourself. In a two-parent household, we can split the difference from time to time. If one gets stressed, someone else can step in. But when it's all on you, you have to make time for you. You've got to make time for God to move in you. Find that quiet place where God can you can commune with God and allow God to fill you and direct you. I think that's the biggest problem that we have, is that too often, even as single parents, even from a military background, we try to fix situations before allowing God to give us direction on what to do. So she was definitely right when she said you need to pencil in time for yourself. But when you're penciling in time, when you're planning that time, you need to make sure that you're planning time with God to reinvigorate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That spiritual aspect from the inside out works.
Mm-hmm. Mhm. I like that. I'm actually going to bring on the line with me, Roxanne. I have you on the line with Simpsonville. How are you?
I'm good. I'm still here. Here. Wide awake.
Okay. Okay. Good. I have Simpsonville on Simpsonville, South Carolina, on the line with us. And so, did you hear the chance to hear his response to what you said?
I did. 100% agree.
Yeah.
Totally.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I just, you know, on a, since I just have, let's just have a round table since we're here, you know, with that being stated, when we talk about, you know, month of May is mental and behavioral health awareness month. You know, I would ask, you know, Roxanne, you know, like I mentioned, I have some pointers that you have, especially when you talk about planning the time. And then Simpsonville, as you mentioned, at that as well. And I'm going to go ahead and bring that in now as we're talking about it. And I get this information from Mental Health of America. as where I got it. And it talks about different tips taking care of yourself and just some fun, some facts, you know, fast facts. On an average, people spend only 15 minutes a day on health-related self-care. For me, I'm probably less than 10. Self-care is proven to reduce stress and anxiety levels while increasing self-compassion. And lastly, it says, of people who took the depression screen at the MHA, which is Mental Health Awareness, Mental Health of America screening.org in 2020, 73% felt tired or said that they had very little energy, at least half of the entire time or nearly every day. Now, Roxanne, I'm going to ask you, because you work full-time, everything, student, school, you work, and you're a full-time student. I believe you go to school as well, right? And, you know, so you have a lot on your plate. How does those facts relate to you?
Well, I go to class online. It's at my pace, and recently I've been not pacing with them. I've been taking a break. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things that I had to really think about, because I suffer from migraines, and if I don't get enough rest, it will trigger a migraine. I will be shut down. So as far as my rest is concerned, the VA was giving me different meds to help me sleep. Didn't work. It either wouldn't allow me to wake up, so just I would be late to school. It just caused issues. So one of my coworkers told me about something called a weighted blanket, and I was like, what? So she talked to me about her husband. He had had it for a year when she told me about it, and of course this was several years ago. So I ordered me a weighted blanket from a veteran-owned company. And the first time I slept with it, I had dreams. Like, I hadn't had dreams in a couple of years because I wasn't sleeping. Like, I was either getting up in the middle of the night all the time. I wouldn't physically get up, but I would wake up. And I would just be laying there in the bed like, okay, I need to go back to sleep. But when I used the weighted blanket, like, I dreamed. I had vivid dreams. And when I woke up in the morning, I felt so rested. I was like, oh, my God, this blanket is, like, amazing. So I was trying to find different things that weren't medicine-related, like more natural things I could do to help me. Like, there were times I only had 4 hours of sleep, but with the weighted blanket, I felt so rejuvenated. It was amazing. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I love my weighted blanket so much, and I talked about it so much. My son, he's 14. He's like, can I get a weighted blanket for Christmas? I was like, are you sure? He was like, yes, ma'am. So I got him one. But
what is a weighted blanket?
So a weighted blanket, apparently they've been out for a while, but we don't all know about it. So one of the things that I read and researched about it was, like, the rule of thumb was 10% of your body weight. So if you wear 150 pounds, your weighted blanket could be 15 pounds. You could go up a couple or down a couple. They were making it for children. Children with autism and on the spectrum, and they had different materials that they made it out of because they had, like, sensory issues, like, you know, different patterns and just different feels. But it basically weight. It's like you're sleeping with this weight on you, and it kind of makes you feel, I call it being held.
Yes. Right.
It's not heavy. Now, some people I've talked to don't like it because they said to them it's a little bit too heavy. And I said, well, you know, if you got a 15-pound, you could always go down to a 12 or a 10, you know. But everybody's different. It doesn't work for everybody. But I have a 15-pound. Yeah. But for me, I was really shocked. Like, I could not believe that this thing had me so rested in the funny thing was I had an issue with it, so I had to call Amazon, and I ended up talking to a customer service guy who's in Africa, and when I mentioned the blanket, he was like, what did you say? And so he's like, this is a blanket you're talking about? I was like, yeah. So I explained it to him, and you know what he said? He said, you know what, My girlfriend struggles with sleeping. He said, I think I'm going to get her a blanket. Because I talked to him about, you know, sometimes people don't want to take medication for everything. You know what I'm saying? You want to take uppers and downers and all this stuff. That weighted blanket was a godsend. Like, one night my dream was so vivid, I woke up and threw the blanket off. I wanted the dream to stop. But that's how vivid the dreams are. Like, when I sleep with that blanket, I am, I don't know. It just gives me a lot of rest. And then I have an app called Abide, which is a Christian app, and I usually listen to Bible stories or different motivational things to actually put you to sleep. I listen to that while I'm under my blanket, and it's just an amazing feeling. When I wake up in the morning, I'm not groggy. I'm not like, oh, it's a different feeling. I think if we all kind of try to find ways to help us sleep better, that mm-hmm. would help a lot more. It really would, because think about people that are depressed and, you know, have all these issues going on. A lot of them aren't sleeping. They're not. I'm sorry. I don't want to be rambling.
You're good. You're good. But Chris sounds like he's so sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. But it seems as if you're very familiar with it. So give me your perspective of, are you familiar with the weighted blanket?
I'm familiar with it. I've never had to use one. And since I'm a little older, weighted blankets were used back in the hospitals. And really, you would know a weighted blanket today as what they put over you when they take an X-ray of you.
Yes.
The same material that when they put that vest over you is the same material
yeah.
that, that goes into a blanket. So mm-hmm. what that does is, being that it's weighted, it gives you a sense of security, something
mm-hmm.
that is covering you and giving you a sense of security. And I agree with Roxanne in the fact that most physicians will give you medicine to try to fix what's wrong with you. And their knowledge of what the medicine is isn't all that it's cracked up to be. Some medicines mm-hmm. work for a certain thing, but then it's going to counteract something else. So it's always better to find a holistic form of therapy. Teas work real good, herbal teas. But having that
yeah.
blanket on you when you go to sleep, and I think you said you use Abide, spiritual meditations or things of that nature, what you've done is you've wrapped yourself in comfort and you've allowed all the stressors of the day to be moved out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that you realize, we die faster because of stress.
Yeah.
And anything else that'll take us out. We age quicker because of stress. So getting the proper amount of rest, allowing yourself to unwind, will help you more than you will ever know.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I think the topic is, y'all going to make me lose my mind. Putting yourself in the right mindset of not allowing things, you know, I think Roxanne said that when she gets off from work, she leaves work at the job. I can mm-hmm. remember when I was working on my master's, I would drive back and forth to Atlanta every other day. But I didn't want to negate family time, so I would come home and coach my son's football team. I would coach my daughter's high school softball team. I would drive a school bus in the mornings. I would teach a mathematics college course in the afternoon. And all of this just to make sure that, you know, I spent time with family, but I was getting my work
mm-hmm.
done. And that in itself is a stressor. You know,
mm-hmm.
my last semester working on my doctorate, if it hadn't been for my wife, I would probably not have my doctorate today, because I had gotten that burnout from all the stresses of papers, work, church,
mm-hmm.
family, all of that wore on. But you've got to have someone in your life as well as, you know, having a spiritual ground that can help you get through.
You all have some very good, like, I'm going to look into that weighted blanket. Now you have me thinking about it, because I'm like, I do remember that blanket when now, you know, when I go take those x-rays, I'm going to go look at, I'm going to look into it, Roxanne. I am going to look into it. Now that I got that, you know, I got that, you know, that seal of the deal from, I'm definitely going to look into it, y'all. I really am. You know, but I wanted to mention some tips for those who are listening, you know, dealing with taking time for yourself. And, you know, when we get to that point where we're so stressed out, or we get a handful of roles of that, you know, that's juggling us, you know, being a parent, being a student, you know, an employee, a caretaker, when you're struggling with mental health concerns, you know, or just feeling overwhelmed with some, you know, with responsibilities, you know, take tips for taking care of yourself. Just a couple things I wanted to mention. You know, one, accept yourself for who you are. You're only one person, okay? Just keep that in mind. You know, remember that you have to run at your own pace. You know, try not to compare your life to other people, because sometimes we have a tendency of trying to compare ourselves to other people. No, we can't do that. We are who we are, and that's all we are. And we have to control our pace based on what our situation is and what we can and cannot do. That's one of the things we want to start doing. And, you know, when we stop comparing ourselves, that's when you're going to run into issues. So stop doing that and just enjoy you for who you are. And that's what I'm going to have to say with that. We want to focus on the basics. You know, sometimes being an adult is not easy. It can feel impossible or even get, you know, even the little things, it's impossible to get some of the little things done, you know, as people. And I'm talking about our little, our younger ones, you know, our younger adults or even our students, you know, and even as adults, sometimes we're overwhelmed at even some of the smallest things. And I know I can speak for myself. It just seemed like, gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. Even the smallest task seemed like I can't do it. But you know what I've learned is that you can only eat an elephant one bite at a time. That's it.
Amen.
Right.
One bite at a time. Just focus on the basis. And one of the things I've learned is I've learned that when I write things down and put in a list of priorities, what can I get down? What is an urgency that works better for me? And when I see that I can scratch it off, I know I have accomplished things. And these are just suggestions. I'm not telling you to do it. Another thing is find what makes you happy. You know, once you, take care of your responsibilities, find something that makes you happy. Now, it was mentioned about herbal teas. I love herbal teas. Roxanne loves herbal teas. You know, these are things, but it's soothing, it's relaxing for me. Yes. I love it. I haven't drank in years, but herbal teas is like my wine. You know, I love it. It just calms me down and relaxes me. And I love YouTube and Pandora. So I have meditation music I'll put on, or I'll put on Dr. Bonner. I'll put on something that's going to help me unwind my mind, so I could be at peace. Mm-hmm. And I learned that when I do my meditation music and meditate my son as well, because it brings us down from those stresses or whatever. And my son loves tea too. We both all love our music. And by that time, we're ready to, you know, when we go home, we'll go to bed, we're going home with a peace. You know, we're going to bed with a peace. And we do our devotion together. You know, I let him lead a devotion because he has a child devotion his age appropriate. So find something that makes you happy. And even if it's not, you know, doing teas or something, whatever you need to do to take that moment, even if it's start off with 5 minutes and increase it, increase the increment, so it gets to a point where you have your time. And it's just your time. No one else's time is dedicated to just you. And don't let anybody disturb that. You know, practice mindfulness. You know,
mm-hmm.
Mindfulness is one of the best ways for you to have the most of any amount of your time. Like I mentioned, let that be your time, no one else's time. Take a few minutes or moments to just breathe. Like I said, just take, if it starts up with 5 minutes and then do it in other increments of 5, 10, 15, till you get to a day. Well, I remember there are times I took a whole weekend. I took a weekend retreat. I didn't tell no one except for one person. That was my brother and where I was. If there was an emergency, they had to reach out to him. If it was an emergency. And that's how it was. And I took a weekend retreat, and I loved it. I haven't been on one since, but that was the most peaceful moment in my life. So another one is make small goals. You know, a lot of people have vision boards. For me, it's like daily for me. I have to, you know, make like every day after or the night before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to write down things I need to do for tomorrow. I'm putting everything down I need to do, and then when tomorrow comes, I'll start scratching it off on things I need to do, and then I feel that sense of accomplishment. Another thing would be is set some boundaries.
Yeah.
You only one person, and you can only stay within these boundaries, and the things you can only do what you can do, and what you can't do, you just cannot do. And it's okay. Let me just say this. It's okay to say no.
Yes. Praise
it's
him, the
okay
no ministry.
It's okay to say no and feel okay with saying no.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say yes to everything. You just can't because
mm-hmm.
you're just one person. Because my attitude is this. If I die today, how will they get it done?
Absolutely.
They will get it done. You know, you can't kill yourself. That's just all to it. You just can't. So just keep that in mind. And I would say the last thing is that you're not alone. You're not by yourself. You're not the only person that's going through. But, and if, you know, we can do it as, you know, as Roxanne and I and Centerville, then you can do it. But it's just that made up mind that, I've learned that nothing is worth my peace. And once you maintain peace, you will not let anything or anyone disturb your peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother once told me, Tina, you have an island, and only you and your children live on your island. Whoever comes to your island is who you allow to be on your island. And I used to build walls, and I was like, no, I can't build walls because, see, with walls, you don't know who's going in, who's going out. So I've learned to build gates because now I can see who I will allow in and who I will not allow
in.
My attitude
yes,
is this. You may come in, but you only have a temporary pass, and please don't lose your pass because if you don't do right or follow the rules and the boundaries of the gate, then you are not welcome back. And that's just how I live. Because once again, I must protect my, and that includes everybody. I don't care who you are.
May I make
I don't care who you are. Yes, well, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I said, may I make 2 comments?
Yes.
The first one, when you said that you have to make time for yourself, and you made the statement, if you were to die today, how, you know, they would find a way of getting things done.
Yeah.
I tell everybody who is stressed, especially about their job, in my line of work, I've seen folks drop dead at the little things. And their job will come by and deliver a wreath. They'll bring a food tray. They will make a comment at the funeral, but by tomorrow or the next day, somebody steals your job.
I know that's right.
So
let me go further than that. I've seen people name taken off the cubicle on the same day it was announced.
Wow. So you need to, you know, take time for you because they've already got, they're either training somebody for your job have already trained somebody for your job, or they will train somebody for your job. So you're not the only one that can do that job.
Nope.
Right.
Remember, when you went for that job, you were looking for a job. While you're on that job, you're still looking for another job to be better than that one.
I'm not sure what that scraping I'm hearing in the background. Thank you.
That was me. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
So
that
is a major. Your job is a portion of your day. You made a comment that you were working 2 and 3 jobs. You know, you got to learn to work within the boundaries of your time, because you can't get that back.
That's true.
You also spoke, you know, you wrapped it up kind of sort of with what I like to call surrounding yourself or knowing your village. You know, there's that African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. Well, we're all children in one way or another. And you have to surround yourself with those folks that have your best interest. When you're in trouble, you need to have someone that you can call, that you can go to. When you need some time away to steal away, there needs to be a group of people that will take your children and give you the space that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, we're not in this alone. We're not. But that's the biggest misconception that has been put on us, that we have to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. That's why we're in the situation that we're in, because we've forgotten how to reach back and pull somebody else up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why we're stressing and we're dying like we are.
I agree. You know, it does take a village to raise a child, but, you know, and I hate to say it, but it's a truth, but our village has changed so much, because our village, we've become, and I'm not saying everyone's like that, but our village has become more selfish and more, it's not the same. Like how when we grew up, when we were younger, it was different. Everything was close knit, and when I got in trouble in school, my grandmother already knew about it before I got home, so I already knew what to expect. But now, you know, it's different. It's really different. And I agree with you. You do need that that community, that village. You know, when one is stressed out, you have someone that will, you know, step in and be like, hey, you know what, I got them. You know, you go ahead and do whatever, or whatever the case may be. Or, you know, in my case, I don't even mind. Like, you know what, you want a babysitting job? I want you to say, I'll pay you. I'm going to pay you for the, you know, pay you for the evening or whatever. And they'd be like, you know what, Tina, just stay overnight. You know, just take your time. And sometimes I don't want to do nothing. I just want to do nothing. I don't want to hear mommy. I don't want to hear, you know, sister. I just want to hear. They said, well, what did you do? I said, nothing. So you just did nothing. I did absolutely nothing. And I enjoyed my nothingness. And I was happy with it. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. I did. I do. I'm 50 years old. I mean, I'm past the street days. I'm past whatever. I don't want to do much. I just want to, you know, if I want to, I'm a foodie, so I love to eat. That's about it. And then, I enjoy the simple things in life. That's it. All I want to do is nothing. I don't want to deal with the hustle and bustle. I don't want to drive anywhere. I just want to enjoy my peace and my quiet, and I'm good. I can put my phone on mute, and I'll talk to you. If you leave a message, that's great. If you don't, it wasn't important. And if it was important, then you know how to use a Thundercat signal, and then I'll know to call you back. That's it. And that's where I am, because I wasn't always like that. You know, and I can attest for Roxanne, because we go years back, And I could just say the growth, mm-hmm. you know, that we have come to. But, you know, that also came from insecurities, that came from so many things in our lives. Yeah. And, you know, as we get ready to wrap up the show, I'm just going to say this, you know, just as, you know, I have to commend, because this is Mother's Day. I cannot end the show without acknowledging our mothers, because as mothers, we go through a lot. You know, there is mm-hmm. no love like a mother's love. And mm-hmm. we, you know, I'm not downgrading fathers now. I'm not, because fathers are very important too, but today is our day. You know, there's no love like a mother's love. And I tell my sons every moment, people may turn against you, people may do whatever, but your mother is going to be the one that's always going to have your back. Right or wrong, thick or thin, your mom's always going to have your back. And you remember that. And I said, now I'm not saying that mothers are perfect. No, we're not perfect. But we will do the best that we can with the knowledge that we know. We're always going to be a work in progress. And I was having a conversation with my son. You know, there's age difference between me and my children. There's 17 years between the two of my children. So I have one that will be 27 in July. And so he's older now. He's been in the military. He's already, you know, he's very cultured, you know. And, you know, he does things. You know, I'm not mad at him. He's a grown man. But I said, but when it comes to your mother, there's certain languages, you know, you have to, I don't mind you expressing yourself, but there are some times you're going to have to fall back on. And he, you know, he's expressing to me on how he expressed himself. I said, listen, I understand certain things. However, I am still your mother, regardless of what it is. We are when it's all said and done. And I said, you know, with him, he's very logical, as I know men are. I said, just go to your word. Because, you know, we got into a conversation and he had this misconception that he felt like, you know, we all are the same. No, there is a hierarchy. I don't want to say hierarchy, but there is a certain level. And there's God, there's your parents, and then, you know, you have your elders as well, and you just have to respect them. And I said, I remember my grandmother once telling me this, and I can't believe I'm actually repeating this. I said, when someone gives you stone, you give them bread. I said, I remember my grandmother drilling that in my head. And I didn't understand it when I was younger, but I used to tell her, I don't care if they get, I'm not going to give them bread. I'm going to take the stone and I'm going to throw the stone against their head. You know, I was so full of anger but as I'm older now, I totally get it. And I was expressing it to my son today. I said, you will never be on as far as an elder level because you don't do that. And I said, and as far as your mother is concerned, you will never be on my level as far as you going back and forth with me. I said, that's not an option. And I said, what you have to understand is, yes, I respect you as an adult, but you still have to respect me as your mother. And that's really the bottom line. I said, and if you don't believe me, you go to your word of God. If you want logic and stuff like that, then you go to the word of God. And I said, because God is not going to get us on what people do to us, but he will judge us based on how we react to what people do to us. So I'm going to end this on this note. For all of the mothers out there, I want to say happy Mother's Day. For our single mothers, those who are not single, those who are just becoming mothers, those who have lost, and those who are gaining, I just want to say happy Mother's Day. You all are gems, and very appreciative. We are very appreciative of who you are, because there's no love like a mother's love. I thank you for my guest tonight, Ms. Roxanne, and also Mr. Simpsonville. I always love your input. And this is Fatina Kirkendall. Remember, I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.